The reading for today is found in Job, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 7, and also a reading from Job 19, 23 to 27. And this passage being read today is sometimes referred to as Job's prayer. At least there's hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again. Pastor Pam alluded to that. And its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, but its stump die, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. But man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As water disappears from the sea or a riverbed becomes parched and dry, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. If only you would hide me in the grave and conceal me till your anger is past. If only you would set me a time and then remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait for my renewal to come. You will call, and I will answer you. You will long for the creature of your hands, long for the creature your hands have made. Job 19. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. The word of the Lord.
Well, dear friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, last week we listened to Job's anguished cries, cursing the day he was born. We heard his friend Eliphaz tell him that the innocent don't perish, and that Job's suffering, his loss, and his pain were really just God's way of punishing him for sins that he had committed. Yet Job maintained his innocence, he held on to his integrity, and in prayer he cried out to God. It is that crying out, that questioning that leads Job and it leads us into today's text, which you just heard, where we hear that even in the midst of his suffering and in his continued lamenting, Job finds hope. Hope in his Redeemer, hope that he will see God and live, hope that he will see God even after his death. Job begins to see darkness, light in the darkness, as he too proclaims, I know that my Redeemer lives. Redeemer, that name, that very name of this sacred place is pronounced Goel in Hebrew. And a Goel was someone, usually a kinsman, who would go and rescue or buy back a person who had become enslaved. Job knows that his Goel, his Redeemer, is God, the one who will save him and rescue him from all the pain that he is experiencing now. Job trusts that God will hear him, answer him, and care for him now as God had done in the past. For in chapter 10, earlier, verse 12, Job cried out, God, you gave me life and you showed me kindness, and in your providence you watched over my spirit. Please, Lord, come, do that again. Job's faith in God, his personal Redeemer, the one with whom he has a personal relationship, notice the word my, how many times that appears in those last verses. This is the God who will be Job's hope. Well, you and I know that as Christians who live in post-resurrection times, that Jesus is our personal Savior. He is our Goel, our Redeemer, our kinsman, God incarnate, who came and to buy us back so that we could be reunited, restored, and brought back into a right relationship with God, our Father, forever. This is the central theme of the Bible, and Scripture abounds with words of God's amazing, incredible, redemptive love. And I know you've heard these promises before, but listen to them again, because I know that it is in the listening, in the hearing of these over and over and over, that the promises go from our head to our heart, and we begin to really live them out in our daily lives. We remember, we read from John, 1 John, the 4th chapter, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. We also find peace and comfort and reassurance in the words of Paul to the Romans in the 8th chapter, reminding us that there is nothing at all that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing, nothing at all stands between us and our God of love. And lastly, we find strength and courage knowing that God is always with us. Sometimes we doubt that, we don't feel like God is, but listen to these words. Jesus is comforting his disciples before he goes to his death, and he tells them, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you and in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So there we have it, promises of God's unconditional love now and always, and of his constant presence in our lives with us. And yet, as human beings, as Christians, sometimes even we struggle to believe the story that sounds too good to be true. We find ourselves wrestling with that age-old question, if God is love and if God is all-powerful, then why is there still so much pain, evil, and suffering in this world? Has anyone asked that question lately? Pastor Pam just alluded to that. I have, more than once. My God, why have you forsaken me? Those words were cried by Job, the psalmist, Jesus himself, and yes, you and I. And perhaps most recently, we have collectively cried out those words. And maybe we said, my God, why have you forsaken us? As we looked at the events unfolding in our nation and in the world. A friend wrote to me on Facebook and she said, "My goodness, my good Lord, has the world gone mad?" Sometimes it feels like it. The fact that in our humanness we do question, we doubt, and we despair, we do those things, and in all of those things we cry out to our God, praying, searching for answers, for comfort, for peace, for love, and for hope. And it is that searching, that doubting, that uncertainty. It is a good thing. So oftentimes I think doubt gets a bad rap. But doubt is good when it leads to faith, when it leads us to cry out to God, as Job did. Because it is in that very crying out that is a prayer that increases and strengthens our faith. Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite theologians and writers, has a great quote. He said, "Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving. Remember that. Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving. Well, John Ortberg has written another good book. This is an older one. But the name of this book is No Doubt, K-N-O-W. Not No Doubt, N-O, but K-N-O-W. And he, in this book, says that we are to embrace our uncertainty because it is only then, in times of being uncertain, that faith is needed. Think about it. If you don't have any doubts, then you don't need faith because knowledge has come. Paul made that point when he wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, now we see but a poor reflection, then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We don't have all the answers. We cannot understand the way the world works, the way God interacts with it all the time. We have questions. Ortberg goes on to say that our certainty is a gift in that it helps us to remain humble, to realize that God is God and that we are not. We realize that the control we thought we had is really just an illusion. Uncertainty pushes us to examine our hearts, our beliefs, to seek truth, and in doing so, we grow. Uncertainty calls us to surrender, to let God be God, to know that there are mysteries we cannot understand. Someday we will know. Well, many of my friends who have been diagnosed with cancer or some other disease have said to me, going through these times, you know, I didn't want that disease, but I'll tell you one thing, it certainly has changed me and made me a better person. I'm more compassionate, I'm patient, I'm kind. My list of priorities has changed. I now know what's important in life, and I try to live life to the fullest, knowing that my days are numbered, and knowing that there is something even greater than the life I'm experiencing here on earth. I can't explain it, I just know it. I feel it in my heart. Such was the case with my friend Mary Jean. She died a month ago, and I traveled to Rochester, New York to be at her funeral. When she was diagnosed with melanoma, she was shocked, as many of us, her family and friends were, because here was this beautiful woman in her early 50s. She was athletic, she did everything right, she ate well, she exercised. In fact, she led bicycle tours through upstate New York. She was the picture of health, and she was the youngest of the four girls in her family. She questioned, why me? How can it be that I, who have done everything right, now have this horrible illness? She was angry. She was confused. She had a lot of questions. But still, she held on to her faith. She had hope. Well, as the cancer remitted and then came back again, this time in her brain, I thought, oh, Mary Jean, I know you were going to be in the depths of despair, and how can I be there for you long distance as you face this disease and have these questions? But she didn't despair. In fact, she had even more faith, because what I heard was, well, giving up is not an option for me. And later she said, you know, whatever happens, I'm in good hands because I'm in God's hands. There was a shift from despair to hope, and that happened through the Holy Spirit, through her faith. Well, at Mary Jean's memorial service, people spoke about her character, her strong faith, and her courage. And so later that day, I went back through Facebook and started to read some of her earlier posts and what she said. I wanted to kind of travel back with her through this disease and her death. And there I found another quote that she had written. And it read, faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay, no matter how things turn out. Faith is not about everything turning out okay, but rather faith is being okay, no matter how things turn out. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans in the 4th chapter, put it this way: we are justified through faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore we have hope in God. And we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Well, unfortunately, not everyone can grasp this. I was asked to visit a woman one time, a long time ago, whom I'll call Ellen, and she was in the hospital dying from liver cancer. I had never met her before, but she recognized me. And as I was walking down the hall for her room, she spotted me from quite a distance, and she began yelling, "Go away! Don't you come in here! I don't want to see you, because I know you are from the church, aren't you? Well, I'll see you soon enough, and I won't be sitting up either." With death fast approaching, I sensed that Ellen was deeply angry, afraid, and feeling quite unloved. I'll never know for sure because I never got a chance to be with her. But her husband did welcome me to spend some time with him, and so together we prayed that in her last days, Ellen would come to know a God of peace and love. In the midst of your own lives, what are some of the doubts and the uncertainties that you have? What do you do with them? What gives you hope, and what does hope look like for you? Who supports you in your faith? As a spiritual director in training, I invite you to ponder these questions, knowing that when you do, your faith is growing. And if you would like, please come and talk to me. Together, we'll have a lot of things to talk about: faith and hope and life and death, and where God is in the midst of all of those things. When Job lost everything he had except for the love of God, Job discovered that God was really all he needed. Today, we are reminded that God loves each and every one of us, no matter what, that God is with us through all of our suffering, through all of our terrible, horrible, good, no good days, and God is with us with our doubts, and God will never, ever leave us, never. On that, we can depend, and so it is in God that we place our hope and trust, knowing that along with Job, our Redeemer lives, and so shall we. Amen.